Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
I wonder how you picture Jesus in your head. Do you picture Jesus with flowing long hair and blue eyes, maybe sat in the middle of an adoring crowd, child on his knee, lambs gambolling around his feet? Jesus, meek and mild. Well, I'm not sure before I investigated who Jesus was that I ever quite had that picture, but I probably, in truth, thought Jesus was a bit of a wimpy bloke. You see, for me, it was all this stuff he banged on about love all the time. And in my own messed up idea of what it meant to be a man, that didn't seem very manly. You will be glad to hear that my perceptions of what it means to be a man in the world today have moved on greatly since those days. But I wonder, nevertheless, what kind of picture you hold of Jesus in your head. Because it very much impacts how we see our relationship and our faith with him. Today, we continue our exploration of the book of Matthew, a biography of Jesus, Matthew's gospel. And Jesus, in our position where we're in Matthew now, chapters 8 and 9, Jesus is coming off the back end of a teaching tour, a mammoth tour of teaching, and he is tired. Yeah, you wouldn't believe it, would you? Jesus gets tired as well. And he's been trying to bring this teaching tour to an end, to just take a break and have a rest. I mean, aside of what we're talking about here today, there's a lesson for us all to learn there, isn't there? That to take a rest occasionally. But people keep asking Jesus to do stuff. Would you heal my leprosy? Come and heal my mother-in-law. How about my house servant? Would you come and heal them? Can I follow you? All these people just gathering around Jesus. And so eventually he steps into the boat, tells his disciples to head out into the lake and goes to sleep. Dog tired. Have you, I wonder, ever been at your wit's end, just worn out, not sure what to do, not sure who to turn to? Well, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Unfortunately, not very long after he falls to sleep, a storm comes up out of nowhere. The Sea of Galilee is actually, you all know this probably, a large lake. In fact, I've had the pleasure of being there and being on the Sea of Galilee where Jesus was. I was blessed enough to do that. And if you've ever been to the Lake District in England and sat on the side of one of those lakes and looked up into the hills and the mountains around you, you'll have a pretty good idea of what it's like to be sat on the Sea of Galilee. Or apart from the sun, of course, you probably didn't have as much sun as they have there. And the other big difference is actually the sheer size of the Sea of Galilee. Lake Windermere in the Lake District is our biggest lake, and Galilee is 11 times larger than Lake Windermere. In addition to that, the Sea of Galilee is nearly 700 feet below sea level. And the culmination of these geographical oddities mean that at one moment the sea can be dead calm, and then a few minutes later there can be a storm whipped up around you, thrashing around anyone who dare be on its waters. Which brings us back to our story. A storm now rages around the disciples, and they are at their wit's end. They're about to die. I mean, they've probably seen their friends die on this lake. They know that it is not a safe place to be. Who do they turn to? Well, of course, they turn to the sleeping Jesus. Jesus opens his eyes and says something akin to, "Why are you bothering me? You could have dealt with this." And then he gets up, gives the storm the sort of look that your mother gave when you were naughty, and then goes back to sleep again. And everything becomes calm once more. The Jewish disciples are amazed. What kind of man is this, they say. Even the winds and waves obey him. You see, they know that no one other than God commands the winds and the waves. No one other than God has commandment, authority over the world. Or possibly people that God ordains. I mean, the last person to do this, as far as they're concerned, was Moses when he parted the sea. Who is this man? Is he Moses? Is he as important as Moses? Is he God himself? What authority does he carry? Well, Jesus has authority over the world because Jesus is God. And then without skipping a heartbeat, we get to the next part of the story. The boat arrives and they jump out of the boat and are greeted by two demon-possessed men. We're not talking here about two slightly odd people. No, these are damaged, deranged, demon-possessed men. They live in the graveyards where the dead are. They are severely damaged people, possessed by evil. So what relevance does that have to our world today? Well, have you ever felt that evil has overtaken the world, I wonder? Not convinced that good will win out in the end? Have you ever worried for yourself and for those that you love? Well, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. We leave the discussion of evil spirits aside for another time. But look at what the evil spirits say of Jesus. What do you want from us, Son of God? They shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? And then some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. And the demons begged, Jesus, if you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs. And Jesus said to them, go. You see, it would seem that whilst the disciples are still discovering who Jesus is, who is this man? Evil knows exactly who he is. Evil knows that he is God himself. He has authority. And evil is so petrified that it runs from the authority of Jesus. Jesus has authority over evil. Jesus is God. And then, just in case we haven't got this message, the author of the book of Matthew wants to tell us once more why Jesus has authority. We hear in this final installment from today's reading that some friends were bringing one of their own to see Jesus. A paralyzed man, a disabled man. The friends bring him to Jesus. Have you ever wondered why people suffer? Have you ever cried out when someone you love has not been healed? Well, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. But what an odd response. For this young paralyzed man is laid before Jesus. Jesus looks at him and has pity. But does he heal him? Well, not yet. That is coming. But first, Jesus looks into the heart of the young man and forgives his sins. The forgiveness of sin, God's kingdom coming into the heart of that young man, is more important to Jesus than his physical disabilities. Who the world thinks you are or how you look is not as important to Jesus than knowing your Creator, than him bridging between you and God. Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. Jesus has the authority to bridge that gap between us and our Father God, to bring wholeness to our lives, to bring wholeness to that young man's life, to bring wholeness to you and I. Jesus has that authority. Of course, this upsets the local religious leaders, the equivalent of me at the time. Of course, it's going to upset them. Only God can heal people. Only God can bring forgiveness. Only God can bring wholeness. Well, exactly. But Jesus says to them, so you think I can't bring wholeness to life? How about wholeness of life as well as wholeness of body? And then he heals the young man. He heals the young man. He brings him wholeness of life. Because Jesus is God. He has authority over the world. He has authority over evil. And he has the authority to bring wholeness to you and I. That's why for me, Jesus is never meek and mild. That's not who he is. He is, however, a God who calls you and I into battle. A God that says, are you ready for the biggest battle of your life? A battle to live differently, to see God's kingdom come. A battle of living life under the authority of Jesus, of becoming an apprentice, a disciple to our friend, to our Lord, to our captain, to Jesus. What about you? Where do you see yourselves? What kind of man is this? Is that a question that you ask? Who is Jesus? Well, for me, that's today's question. Who is Jesus to you and I? Does he have authority over you and I? Whether that's for the first time today or whether you're actually going to take this seriously now. That's the question to ask. And the author of the biography of the Gospel of Matthew would say, come and find out. And I also say to you, if today you ask that question for the first time, if today you ask that question for the 100th time, if today is a day when you are willing to step forward into Jesus, to step forward into a life with him and wholeness with him and come under his authority, then do get in touch and we'll have a great chat about that. But it's a decision that you get to make.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.